Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Hey, welcome to the Hannah's Heart family. We are a show for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage who just want to be encouraged to cling to Christ, that He is enough for you. We also cover topics like foster care or adoption or fertility treatments. We just want to be there to encourage you. We have a email address, hannahsheart@afa.net. If you have show ideas or questions or prayer concerns, We have people literally call us and we will get on the phone and pray with you. If you feel alone on this journey, you are not. We can help get you plugged in with ministries to encourage you. And we want to be there to pray with you too.
That's right. That's right. So today we're doing actually a part two of an episode that aired last week, and we have a sweet lady on named Emily, and she came on to share about her, how she became a stepmom, mm-hmm. and then how she walked through infertility, learning about her infertility, even diagnosis after mm-hmm. she became a stepmom, and just kind of how that was hard to walk through, mm-hmm. really hard to walk through. And so we have her on again to now not share about the infertility part. So go back and listen to that episode. But to tell us how you became mama to the babies who call you mom now.
So we were trying to decide. We knew we wanted to adopt, but we were trying to figure out what are the steps for that. And so that was a little overwhelming, mm-hmm. just, you know, trying to figure out what agency do we use? What do mm-hmm. we do? What are the steps? And so along the way, a friend of ours, my husband actually met them at their wedding. He was their DJ for their wedding. And nice. So they reached out and they were like, hey, I know that you've been going through some of the same things we have, and mm-hmm. they were telling us about a place they actually had a child that they were about to be
adopting. Oh, wow.
And it was from another state. I don't remember what state it was, but far away from here. And so I was like, oh, okay, so we can do that too. Like there's so many options. Mm-hmm. You don't know them all until you do all the research. So she said, but before you do that, go ahead and talk to Parkgate. Okay. And so there's a clinic here in Tupelo that, you know, they help with the birth moms, a lot of teens, mm-hmm. unwanted pregnancies, unplanned pregnancies.
Yeah.
And so she said, just take a book. Mm-hmm. The book needs to have pictures of your family and just some information about you. And I was like, I would have never thought to do that.
Yeah.
And so that was our first step.
Wow.
And we did that. And so.
And this was how many years into marriage?
So we had been married about 7 years about this time.
Actively trying to have children almost the entire time.
Right. Yeah. Right. So we were like, let's do it. So within a week, I had my book. I took it to Parkgate. I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing here. I just know that a friend told me to bring a book. And she was like, oh, perfect. And I was like, okay, so this is a thing. Because I'm thinking it's a little odd, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But it makes sense. There's there's people who they get pregnant. They need to know who's going to love my baby. And they want to see that family. Mm-hmm. And so it made complete sense. And I was like, okay, perfect.
Oh, I love that you're bringing Parkgate into it, because we had a fundraiser for Parkgate. Mm-hmm. Our Hannah's Heart listeners raised almost $7,000 for Parkgate Pregnancy Center this past summer.
That's awesome. So that's amazing.
That's really neat that that's part of your story. Yeah, I didn't know that.
It is. So in August of 2013, we got a phone call, and it was, hey, there's a teen mom who really likes your family. And I was like, Okay.
This is from part eight.
How long had the bonder been there?
We took it in May.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And they don't facilitate adoptions.
No, they do not. They do not. So when I took our information to Parkgate, she was like, no, we can't adopt. Right. And I was like, okay, what do I need to do? Because I'm still clueless.
Yeah.
And she said, you're going to need a home study. You're going to need to go through an adoption agency. And I was like, okay. So then I called New Beginnings. Nice. And I was like, hey, New Beginnings, we need a home study. So we started the home study process then.
Gotcha.
But when I
After a birth mom had said we
Well,
really like
I started it when I took, took the book because, you know,
you got to get everything in order.
I was like, I don't know how long this is going to take. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that it's a process. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I just want to be ready.
Yeah.
And I'm a little anxious because I'm like, okay, we've been waiting so long and we want to get this started. So
your arms are aching.
Yes.
To hold that baby.
So we had already started the home study. I guess the paperwork and all the background checks and all the things you have to do to begin to do a home study. And so that was in August, probably mid-August. Then September the 6th, we got a phone call, and the moms had decided she would like to keep her baby.
Oh, wow.
She was going to raise it with her parents' support, and I was like, I had so many emotions because she got to love her baby. Mm-hmm. She's going to get to watch her baby grow up, but then I was like, that was my baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so looking.
You already made so much room in your heart for that first little person.
And we knew no details. We didn't know boy, girl, nothing, but we knew that that was going to be our baby. Mm. And then I was like, I don't know. It was the whole feeling of the despair, the failure again. I'm like, why? Why? Mm-hmm. And so that was on September 6, 2013. And the dates are really important because 3 days later, we got a phone call from a family friend. And she said, hey, are y'all still considering adoption? Mm-hmm. And my husband was like, yes, we are. And she said, I have a friend who is pregnant. She's married, but her husband is in jail.
Oh, wow.
And he was not the father.
Mm-hmm.
And she has two other children, and she was not going to keep this child, but she wanted to abort. And she said, I'm desperately trying to convince her that's not the right option and not the right choice. And I was like, I want that baby.
Yeah.
I want that. Like, that is our baby. Like, no, she cannot. And so she said, can I give her your number? And I was like,
absolutely.
Yes, you can.
We'll meet up right now.
Yeah. So she actually called me and she was like, are you really sure that you want it? And she said it because she was distancing herself from the baby. But I was like, yes, I want the baby. I want the baby. Like it was almost like, it was, I joke about it, but it was like God laid him in our lap. It was like, you've waited for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then, This is why.
Wow.
It was.
And how far along was Bio Mom at the time?
She was, 6 months, I think. Almost 6 months.
Okay.
Wow.
And so 3 months later.
Now, was this a private adoption then? Did you still go through New Beginnings or how did you facilitate the adoption at that point?
Okay, so.
Because this is rare that, like, it goes around. Like,
yeah. Right. We, I called New Beginnings and I was like, help,
I found
someone. And because we had already told them that we had talked to Parkgate. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know if we're going to actually be using you as an agency, but we need you to do our home study.
Sure.
And so it was almost like let's wait on Parkgate to see, and then I was like, I don't need to put all of our eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and start talking to Parkgate. I mean, to New Beginnings. So we had already started the home study process, but along the way, we were putting in our application for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, we found somebody that wants us to adopt their baby. Mm. What do I do? And she said, well, we can withdraw your application and continue with the home study. So they were going to finish that part for us, but then we had to hire a private attorney.
Sure.
And so there's several here just in the Tupelo area that do family law that were able to help us out
Which this is a lot more affordable option than going through the agency. Is that right?
A whole lot more. Wow. You're paying for basically just the legal fees.
Wow.
Home study fees, that was a pretty big amount too, but you're not paying for
the agency all and the everything.
Extra. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a blessing also.
Wow.
Yeah. So that.
This doesn't happen. I don't know if our listeners, we've had a lot of people that we've talked to that have gone through adoptions, and that is such a unique way for God to bring them into your life. And like you said, literally lay it on your lap.
Yeah.
3 days after, I just am picturing your conversations with God. I'm picturing you sitting there with a cup of tea, why again, God? This feeling of disappointment of you led me this far and then it just fell apart. What? And then the phone ringing.
It's funny because, your Facebook memories pop up. Mm-hmm. And so I have a memory of September the 6th. And so I can never forget that day because September the 6th is the day that I posted on there, I don't understand, but God's got this.
Mm. Wow.
And then 3 days later, phone call. And I don't really know that there's a significance in the 3 days, but it was enough time for me to, stop. Mm. God's got a plan. Mm-hmm. And I finally was able to say, this is not, it's not my plan. It's not been my plan since the beginning, and it's not going to be my plan. Mm-hmm. I've got to give it to him. Mm-hmm. And so once I was able to do that, then I get a phone call. And I don't know if it has anything to do with me giving it up or if it was just that was part of his plan. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to know that part. But I know that me giving it up to him allowed his plan to actually go into place.
Wow.
Your story reminds me of Joseph in the Bible because you have, God gives him this dream and then it's forever that he's waiting. He gets, thrown in a pit by his brothers. He gets sold into slavery. And then, the whole thing with Potiphar's wife. And now he's in prison, and he tries to tell this dream, and these guys leave, and one moment he's in prison, and then a few days later, he's before the king interpreting his dream, and then he's second in command. He literally goes from the very bottom to the very top.
Yep.
And I think what an encouragement for our listeners that, you might be thinking, God, I've been doing all the right steps, and yet I'm at the pit, and this is awful. But it could be tomorrow. It could be today that the phone rings and your circumstances change. But God, the God of the pit, is the same God when you're second in control and he's reliable. Yes. So what a beautiful first baby story. And what's his name?
Jace.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't even gotten him getting here yet.
Yeah, so we were actually able to be at his birth.
Oh.
Got to go to a couple of the sonogram appointments. She does not live near us, but we were still close enough to be able to go. Mm. And so we got to go to see him on the screen.
That's so
and,
sweet.
I got to ask you, your experience with the first Parkgate mama kind of deciding to keep the baby, were you just terrified that was going to happen again?
Yes.
Okay. I wondered the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was. I mentioned earlier about her saying it. Mm-hmm. She had distanced herself from the baby. Sure. I think she had done that as soon as she found out she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. She was planning on aborting it.
Well,
aborting him. And so I feel like that helps me a little bit, knowing that she's already distanced herself. Yeah. She's already, and there's, I don't know that anybody really talks much about this, but there's a big, for me at least, there was guilt because I'm taking someone else's baby. She's carried him in her womb. She gave birth to him, and I'm taking him. But I also know that he wasn't going to be in the family he needed to be in there. She didn't want him. She didn't need him at that time. She couldn't take care of him at that time.
Yeah.
And so I know that there was a reasoning behind that. Mm-hmm. But then there's also a little bit of guilt, I'm kind of excited that I'm taking someone else's baby,
I get that. Well, I mean, I felt that with Mark, too. The day that we got the call, I was at your house.
Mm-hmm.
When we got the call that rights had been terminated, I thought I was going to feel this, wonderful excitement, and I didn't. It was a relief because I knew, more than likely he is for sure mine. But then it was also a guilt of, but he's not going to be with his family. So many different things.
Yeah. Mm.
So hard things to figure out, I'm sure. I mean, for us.
Yes.
Well, it just shows God's grace because we live in a fallen, broken world. And, of course, God's perfect desire is for a biological mom and biological right. dad to have and raise their babies. But the concept of adoption is also very biblical.
Yes.
You know, yeah. We're all adopted
no
in Christ.
You have no reason to be yes. guilty because right. we do live in a fallen world. There are situations where yes. parents cannot take care of their children. And then what a beautiful thing that God puts it in your heart to have this baby yeah. and yeah. gives you.
To love that baby yeah. like that baby was in your womb, you know?
Yeah.
So you were in the room when he was born?
I was. That's I was amazing. The first one to hold him.
Oh, my gosh.
The doctor, you know, he comes out, and the birth mom just points to me.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, so I'm like over there like, oh, my gosh, I've got this newborn, and he's mine.
Wow.
And it was the most incredible thing I've ever experienced.
In the previous episode when we were talking about your struggles with infertility, you said that when you got the door slammed that, like, biological children was not going to happen for you. Mm-hmm. You were like, I kept telling myself that I was okay, but I wasn't okay, you know, and you were trying to make yourself be okay. And you said even as you started walking through the process of adoption, you weren't okay. But somewhere along the process, the Lord sort of started to resolve that in your heart. Now you're holding Jace. Was there any, like, was it just like, this is more amazing than I could ever imagine? Or was it like, wow, I'm going to have to work to love this baby? Like, what were you feeling?
There were a lot of emotions. There was a... the amount of love I already felt for this little child that I didn't think I would ever be able to, and everybody's like, oh, you don't know until you hold your first, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I held him, I was like, oh my gosh, I love this kid so much. Like
I would do anything for this baby right
yes,
now.
Yes, yeah. Like don't even come near him because I'm ready to go. But then I also felt, oh, this is a person, mm-hmm. a live human being that I am now
responsible
for.
Yeah. That's every mama's
am I old
terrifying
enough for this?
Feeling.
Yeah. And I still
so
think that's
when you leave you the know, hospital and they give you the baby and you're like, wait a minute, I'm allowed to take this
are
person
you sure
home.
About?
And you like every bump you hit on the way home, you're like, honey, slow down.
yeah.
So, you know, you just go through all the motions. And I don't know. Mm. My emotions were all over the place with that. They were just everywhere.
Okay, so I know we could even go more in depth with Jace, like when we got home and all that, but not we, but you know.
Yeah.
I remember sitting.
We're there with you.
For
as you're
some
telling
reason, me. I remember exactly where I was mm-hmm. at the church whenever Jace came mm-hmm. and y'all were there and people started showing each other pictures of baby Jace. I remember that. Okay, so he's home. And now, how old is he when y'all decide we're going to do this again?
Well, so we adopted Jace, and everybody's like, oh, just wait, you adopt your first one, you're going to be pregnant, just like that. And I was like, oh, yeah. Uh-oh. And so I was like, I put it out of my mind, but then everybody's like planting these little mm-hmm. ideas, which, by the way, is
which
not
really stinks.
The thing to do.
No,
don't
it's
ever.
Not.
You don't know what God's plan is for
no.
somebody's
no.
life.
No.
And so it was pregnancy test, negative. Pregnancy test, negative. And so it was a big ordeal. And I was like, okay. Finally, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of an angry I'm done, not a, okay, I'm okay with it. I'm done.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, fine. If I can't get pregnant, I'm done. Like, you know.
Which you think, honestly, people who haven't experienced this might be like, you just got a baby. You just adopted a baby. Why are you so concerned? But it is when you have people planting those little seeds, when they know nothing, they don't know any more than you do about how your life's going to look.
Right.
But they say things like that, and it's so not helpful. And I think people think that they're being nice, but they don't know how that's going to affect you at 12 o'clock, midnight that night, when you're like, okay, God, is she right? Is she right? Is she right? You know?
Yeah.
Because you can't help that feeling of, I still want to experience that. Now I want Jace to be a big brother. You know, like, what would it be like if we had two babies, you know, and they're only a year apart? You know, that those kind of things, you can't help that.
Hey, real quick, if you guys are just now tuning in, you are listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. And our amazing guest is Emily, sharing about her story of infertility last week. And then now today sharing about her two adoptions. We just heard about her amazing, beautiful baby, Jace, that she adopted. And now we're left wondering what's next.
So we were like, okay, Jace needs a sibling. Mm-hmm. We had Hannah. but she's older.
Yeah.
And so she was actually 16 when Jace, or 15 when Jace was born. And so we were like, there's a really big age gap. Jace needs a younger sibling, mm-hmm. but we wanted it to not be such a big age gap. Mm-hmm. So we were like, maybe we should try to adopt again. And then we were like, I don't know. Should we not? And so we kind of, it wasn't a, we felt led to do it at that time. And so we were like, one of those things where it was in the back of my mind as a prayer, but it wasn't like on the forefront of my mind.
Like you're talking about it often.
Yeah. And so it was about 3 years, 2 years, 2 or 3 years after Jace was born. And we were like, okay, let's adopt. Mm. But let's adopt an older kid, not a baby, because we, you know, we wanted Jace to have a sibling, and I'd gotten to experience the newborn stage, and I was like, okay, I'm okay with not a baby. And so we were like, okay, let's go for it. But I didn't like do anything to try to adopt right then. We were going to wait. We were like, we need to wait. We need to get some more money. We need to raise, you know, save some money, do some things to the house. Let's wait just a minute. And so about that time that we're waiting, we get a phone call from a friend that we have not talked to in a long time. Mm-hmm. And she says, hey, are y'all ever considering adopting again?
This has not happened.
Crazy.
How does this happen to you twice?
I guess technically three times.
Yeah. So we were like, actually, we kind of have, but we haven't told anybody. And she was like, well, I have a mom. She was actually homeless, and she was living in the streets. Mm. And she had a substance abuse problem. Mm. She was like, she's pregnant. She has other kids in foster care. She needs somebody to take her baby. And I was like, okay. Like, I feel like God is saying, this is your child. And so once again, he laid this child in our lap. Wow. We were there for his birth as well.
Again? Like, how far along was mom at this time?
Okay, so that was in August. July, when we found out he was born in January.
Oh my goodness.
And so it was a whirlwind. Like, we're talking like, hurry up.
Yeah, well, normally people have 9 months to prepare. So we're talking, what, 3 months again?
So we were there. He was actually born on New Year's Day of 2020. Mm-hmm. And so I say he is our COVID baby.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, January 2020 is just the worst thing ever. Yeah, and I'm like, no,
I got to enjoy that baby.
Let me tell you about my God, because he gave me this baby.
Wow.
And so that's our
husband. That's a sweet time that you got to probably have with him that you probably wouldn't have gotten.
Definitely. Definitely.
And so Hudson is now 4?
He just turned five.
Just turned 5. Mm. Wow. Oh, my goodness. And so now you have Hudson, Jace, and your sweet, sweet Hannah girl.
I just, you know, we had a guest on who adopted, Emily Brooks. She was talking about Psalm 139, the scripture that talks about, I knit you together in my mother's womb, and how she, as an adoptive mama, used to think of that for biological children, but how God laid that on her heart for even, you know, for children who are adopted, even as these babies are being knit together in their biological mother's wombs. God has ordained for them to be a part of your family.
Yes.
And I just think about, you know, this homeless woman and the situation that she came from and the mama who wanted to abort and these storylines that were going on before you knew anything. And while, you know, in your heart, even the second time, you didn't even know the ache for that baby until God met the need. God was laying a path before you. I think about, you know, of course, John the Baptist in the Bible came to prepare the way for Jesus. And there's that verse about, you know, make straight the roads prepared for him. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think about, it reminds me of God going before you and literally like paving a road. Yeah. And you just walked the path of obedience to him. And it doesn't happen this way. That's what I just keep wanting to say. Like, it's like, don't
I'm
get
just
your
like,
hopes
what do you
set
think
for...
now when people call you on the phone again? Are you
yeah, we'll take another baby. We say yes.
Yeah. Scott's like, no. No more.
Well, because in the meantime, he has now lost.
He actually had, had his other leg amputated.
Yeah. And we mentioned that in the first episode.
Yeah.
From the military.
He was in the Marines and had a really bad accident. Mm. And so, yeah, he actually has lost both legs now. So, yeah, y'all, I mean, goodness gracious, y'all have gone through a whole lot.
Yep.
But it's been, I mean, we are no longer at the same church, but, like, just watching y'all grow as a family has been inspiring to me, and not even knowing everything that was going on. But then now getting to hear some sweet details that I didn't know about has just been really, really neat. And so I thank you for coming on the show today, Emily.
Yeah. And for our listeners, if you feel like you're the Joseph who's in the bottom of the pit right now, like, just think about Emily's story and consider how in one moment God can turn things around for the better. He is
after
a good God.
7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's 7 years, 7 years is prophetic in the Bible,
that's right?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So God can do
first
it.
First 3 days.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, such a neat story, and we're so glad to hear about all your babies now and how you're called Mama. I'm sure your name Mama gets called all the time now. So.
All the time.
Maybe a little too many times.
Right. Sometimes I'm like,
oh. Yeah, I know the feeling. I know every mama does, even after we've longed for that baby for such a long time. So then, you know, now being a mama is hard.
Yeah.
It's just different hearts.
Yeah, it is.
Different hearts. Well, thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we can't wait to see you back next week.